You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And bring them back to me. And they bring the bag of noodles back. And then now you have all your groceries, and they're putting them on the conveyor belt. They can handle that, putting them on the conveyor belt. Let them get carpal tunnel from repetitious action. They're young and it won't last. So they put it on the conveyor belt. Then you bag it, or have it bagged, depending on where you go. You have it bagged, get it in the car, drive home, and the little boy says, "Can I take the groceries in?" And they don't know that you have instructed the bagger to make a few light bags so little Billy can take the light bags in. You won't give them more than they can bear. Do you actually think God will give you more than you can bear? Don't charge him with lying. You know that what you're going through has been established by God, it is ordained by God, and you can handle it. You have to tell the situation, "We can handle this." Make sure it says "we" now, not "me," because it's you and the Holy Spirit. "We can handle this thing." Because when the enemy hears you talk about what you can't handle, he will magnify it and make it larger. And what started out as a molehill will turn into a mountain. But even Jesus says if it turns into a mountain, you can speak to that mountain and tell it to go away. This is not going to keep you down. And what's going to bring you to a position of permanent glory is you being able to recognize the power of God through negative situations. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Spirit. Listen, so God tells him, he said, "You've been here long enough." When you stay in a stagnant position, it messes with your thoughts. Your thoughts become negative. When they saw the other tribes, they said, "We can't go in because the Amorites are there, the Amalekites, the Hittites, you know, they're all there." And that, listen to what they're saying. "That's what's keeping me from entering." Now, people who have stayed in something too long, here's an indicator, you blame somebody else. What'd you think of praise and worship today? "Well, I really couldn't get my praise on because the praise team just sang the same song." The praise team is not responsible for your praise. See, this is what happens in the church. We turn them into entertainers, which means, "All right, come on, bless me." The Bible says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." So therefore, they, all they're really doing here, glory to God. If you've ever gone to a concert, I'm talking about a real concert with a choir, like the Pennsylvania Orchestra. Now, the Pennsylvania Orchestra, they are separated by different types of instruments. You have your brass, your woodwind, your percussion, your string, and they're all separated. And when you look at them, it looks like a hodgepodge, right? And then if you ever go early enough, you hear them warming up, and it sounds horrible. It sounds horrible. You hear the string, the percussion. They're all warming up. Here's what they're doing. They're warming up based on their instruments. See, when they're warming up, it doesn't matter what the strings are playing. The percussion's going to play what they need to play to warm up. But when the conductor comes out, then all of them begin to play together. But here's the interesting part. The conductor has to blend all of the groups together. But in order for him or her to do that, the first thing they have to do is turn their back to the audience. Because they're the ones holding everybody together, but they're not taking the credit. You don't see their face. You see their back. They're doing the work, but you're enjoying what the orchestra is singing. Are you hearing me? They're just the conductor. The Holy Spirit is the one bringing us all together. During the week, you were trying to tune up your stuff individually. But when you come in, we are a symphony to God. And they are just the conductors saying, "All right, everybody, let's get together. Let's stop thinking that they're responsible to get you praising God. You ought to come in. You warmed up all week. You warmed up all week, every negative situation, every negative circumstance, every satanic battle, every pain in your body, everything that the devil threw against you was warm up. But when you come in here, it is now a beautiful symphony unto God. It is ordained by God. It is strengthened by God. And he said, when you do it, I come and sit down with you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, let's go to the other side. You'll never get a new view of Jesus as long as you stay where you are. If you've been saved more than 10 years, the Jesus that walks with you now is not the Jesus that met you at the altar. And if you still have your altar experience, that's what causes you to leave him. You got to learn to grow with him. When I was first born again, he answered my prayer before I even said it, while I was yet speaking. Now he take 10, 15 weeks to get back to me. And when he gets back to me, he'll say later. I'm used to hearing, yes, son, it's going to be well. Now you go to him with tears in your eyes and he don't say a thing, because now he knows that you know he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the important thing is not that you get an answer, but that he's there in spirit. Hallelujah! The wife that lives with me is not the woman I married. She's grown, evolved. When I first got married, Sunday dinner was like Big Mama's house. We had a poultry and a red meat, about three or four vegetables. All cakes and pies were handmade. It was a big deal every night. She'd work and come home, cook. I'd drive down 309. I could smell the food by the time I got to Glenside. And we lived in Logan. Even our daughter was sitting up in the high chair eating chicken legs. Her baby food was made by her mother. Making up the green peas and then squashing them, putting them, Lord have mercy, butter cakes that made you butter. I know I should say better, but made you butter. That's how it started. Now that's not to say anything negative, it's just how it started. And then it began to change. Why? Because the children were growing up and my responsibilities changed, where she could no longer predict I would be there at a certain time. And then cooking became different. And then we crossed over the River 20. And then cooking became healthy. And the devil was a liar. No more fried chicken. Now it's in the oven. And Lord, it just went crazy. But the changes. See, it doesn't mean that the relationship changed. It just meant that the external stuff changed. Are you hearing me? Well, that's how it is with God. He never stopped loving you. He just don't baby you anymore. And you ought to be able to handle it. God said, no more fried chicken. It clogs up your arteries. Now I'm going to give you the joy of being able to know I'm with you, even though you don't hear from me. We don't play those little phone games no more. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. We did that stuff as teenagers. Now it's just, hey, stop and do so-and-so. Okay, click. Talk to you later. It doesn't mean anything wrong. I know some of you, you know, in your marriage, y'all still going around acting like you live in Oz. Follow the yellow brick road. But the reality is every relationship changes. My relationship with my daughter changed. She's no longer that little ponytail wearing, little short skirt wearing with those little Oxford shoes, and she ain't that way. She don't run up to me like that no more. Daddy. Everything changed. Now she's a grown woman. don't have to listen to me. But I trust her judgment. Lord, help me. Oh, I wish I had. All right, this is my 7:30 service, right? Y'all the mature ones, right? Okay. Do you understand that you walk so close to God that you can get to a place in God where God says, I trust your judgment? You know what he said to me this morning? I was talking to him. He said, son, he said, people fear me because of consequences. He said, and holiness has been presented from a consequential position. He said, but if there was no hell, would you love me? Do you tell him you love him because you don't want to go to hell? What if he moved hell out of the way? What if he said you could do anything you want to do, live any way you want to live, and I'll still love you? He said, how many of you would still press holiness? Most of our relationships are consequence driven. Do you love me enough to walk with me simply because I'm God? Do you understand that that's what he's looking for? We have been in this secular humanistic mindset long enough. I said to God this morning, I said, what do we have to do to get your power in our midst? I said, do we have to pray more? He said, no. Yes. I said, do we have to fast more? He said, no. I said, do we have to live holier? He said, no, because that's works. He said, what gets my power is relationship. Hey, there are people who go places with me, and they know when they go with me, they don't even have to dig in their pocket. Why? Because they're with me. Are you hearing me? Well, you walk with God, and you shouldn't have to worry about the devil when you're walking with God. You shouldn't have to fight. Do you understand? You and I should have joy. Joy in our relationship. We're struggling too much to try to make stuff work. We ought to walk with God and have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's the joy that's the fruit of the Spirit. My peace I give to you. I give you joy, joy, joy. You've been here long enough. You've been in the misery long enough. It's time to move. Tell somebody, time to move. Time to move. Time to move. Time to move. Hallelujah. Held on to things that are not good for you. Finding yourself stuck because you've allowed situations to dictate your future actions. Do you understand? There are things that are designed to pull you from your position. There are some things that a man should never do. A man should never move into the woman's house. Amen. You sitting there talking about, well, what if hers is better than mine? Then get yours better than hers. Do you understand that when you do that, the message that you are sending psychologically is that I'm depending on you to take care of me? You understand that's why God said you're the head. Oh, my Lord, look at the faces. Man, I had mine all set up. I'm not saying you can't do it. Do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying that God can't bless stuff that is taken out of heavenly order. When I did the teaching on the family, there was much more to add, and we're going to do it at a separate setting. But see, what's causing the breakdown of the family is that we are moving from God's roles. God doesn't deal with responsibilities. Culture deals with responsibilities. But now it's roles. See, when I first got married, I was telling you, Sister Sheila did all the cooking. She did all that stuff because I was taught that was the responsibility. That's what happened in my house under my father. But she wasn't raised in my house. And so as the situation changed, I cook now. And I don't feel bad about it. And I throw down, Jack. I watch that Food Network, man, and I come in, I did stuff. And you know what's so funny? When I cook, she pull herself up to the table and act like it's the Last Supper. She go, yeah, put some of that on here. And I make strange stuff. I experiment. And not one time did she ever complain. And I know it didn't taste all that good because I was still learning. I was just getting the recipes off Rachel Ray. But she was just happy for the change. That's the only thing that could get her off the phone. Let me go. My husband cooked. Any other time is, hey, how you doing? How you doing? My husband cooked. So you ought to be in that position that when God starts cooking in your life, woo, you need to be able to shut everything off. And you say, well, hold it. God doesn't cook. I dare you to go to the last chapter of the book of St. John when they were out there trying to fish and couldn't catch anything. And the Bible said Jesus was on the shore and he had baked some fish. And when he was cooking, they had to come back. God is cooking something in your life. He is cooking anointing, healing, deliverance, blessing, power. And you out there trying to do your own thing and it's not working. It's time to go to the shore and get some fish. Do something different. Different. I need you to declare today that you are going to do something different. I need you to start developing the frame of mind that I'm going to do something different. That if I continue to do the same thing, that shows I have no trust in God because I'm afraid to move into uncharted waters. I'm afraid to move into new situations. I'm going to hold on to what's comfortable. But our God is saying the days of comfort are over, baby. It's time for you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a great catch. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 5 says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a capital S son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Though Jesus were the Son, he learns obedience by the things he suffered. It's an interesting conversation. We can't have it in a sermon structure, but questions come up from that verse. Why did he have to learn obedience? And what did he suffer? That's another Bible study lesson. Maybe Pastor Martin can teach on that one day. And he says in verse 9, and being made perfect, notice, being made perfect almost suggests that he wasn't perfect. But we know he was perfect, but he was made perfect. Lord, I can't get any help this morning. Are you being made perfect? And being made perfect, he became the author of temporary salvation. No, because we believe we can lose it. See, some people believe they can lose their salvation. But it said Jesus was the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So the connection is that if you are eternally saved, you'll obey. Oh, my God. I need somebody in this section to say amen. All right, I just want to make sure y'all are alive. I think today they get the Methodist crowd. He says that if I'm eternally saved, what will I do? So it appears then that the key to determining salvation is in not the fear of going to hell, not the absencing myself of certain clothing. It is obedience to God. God is not losing sleep over what you wear. The church does. There are people with clothes radar. You can't wear that. That neckline too low. It's going to cause people to fall. Listen, if you got a lust spirit, you're going to fall if they come in sackcloth and ashes. So let's stop making the woman the cause. Amen. Your dress too tight. That's going to make a man fall. Well, even if you have a long, flowing who's the healing lady that used to float around? Who? Catherine Kuhlman. She used to wear those long, flowing gowns. Even if you wear a Catherine Kuhlman gown, a person with a lust spirit is going to see your underwear. He'll see your underwear even if you don't have any on. I sure hope we don't have no first-time visitors. Because I'm about to leave this stage and go down to the Golden Corral. Because right about now, I need some bacon. But what is it that God wants? That young man said to Jesus in Mark's gospel, he said, listen, he said, I need to know. We have 630-some laws. Which one is the greatest one? Now, Jesus did not go down a list. He didn't say, don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't do that. He said, here's what it is. He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you do that, he says, you'll have eternal life. Now, we'll unpack that someday, but do you hear what he's saying? You see, if you love somebody, you won't kill them. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. So it appears that love is the fulfilling of the law. We are worried about smoking and carrying on, but if you love your body, you won't smoke. See what I'm saying? So Jesus is saying, you're not going to hell because you're smoking. You're going to ruin your life because you're smoking. You're going to get yellow teeth, brown fingers, and lung cancer.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go and to My Blessing, or the program number 07419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon continues Saturday, September 21st, at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. The pastors will continue to explore how to craft your sermon, biblical exegesis, and professionalism in ministry. These informative sessions will equip you to walk in your call to ministry and handle the Word of God with care. If you've been chosen for ministry or desire to work in ministry, you will want to be a part of this next session. It's The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon on Saturday, September 21st, 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Register now by calling 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. A strong church consists of strong families with fortified marriages. Cultural influences have infiltrated our homes, our families, and our marriages. It's time to stand our ground and fight for our families. Come and learn how to apply godly principles that reveal the enemy's tactics and help you to bring glory to God in your marriage. All married couples are invited to Ask Bishop Lambert for Married Couples, Friday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, Pennsylvania. Receive a biblical understanding about marriage during this intimate gathering. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit BethelDeliverance.org. Let's gather together for this special session to discover how to build our marriages and our homes. We'll see you there.